Hey there, welcome to the Good Life Community Church podcast. Today, we have a very special guest speaker, Rob Hanser. He's a leader and teacher at Youth with a Mission on the Sunshine Coast and a good friend of the Good Life community. Rob's going to share about spiritual formation and stewardship.
So one day, two young fish were swimming along in the ocean. When an older fish swam past them and stopped and said, "Hey boys, how's the water?" The two young fish swam on for a while, and then one stopped and looked at the other and said, "What's water?" So I've been a missionary for 26 years with Youth with a Mission. And I've spent that time trying to encourage and champion an emerging generation of young people to specifically consider their missional response to culture, to understand how our faith renews our understanding and our motivation, and how we relate that understanding to the society and the culture that we're immersed in. Our mission is to shape and influence that environment, or as the New Testament says, to see the kingdom come. See, I live my life on a foundational belief that mission exists because kingdom does not. But like the fish, we are immersed in an environment that surrounds us and influences. All of us are immersed and influenced by an invisible force that we can't touch, we can't see, we don't taste. Our existence is ingrained and sustained. It's like wearing glasses that we don't even know that we have on. And like the fish, we are often oblivious to the most obvious of realities that surround us. And the water that we swim in, that we are often completely unaware of, is what we call worldview. So a worldview is a collection of language, ideas, belief, customs, expectations about the world around us. And that informs our every thought and our action. And we call this water that we are swimming in today culture. Now, historically, people of faith have responded to culture in several different ways. I just want to highlight a couple. The first is what we call Christ against culture. This view accepts that the water in which we swim is corrupt and beyond repair. Christians should avoid it, reject, separate from it, and basically we should create our own Christian fish tanks or ponds, our own Christian water that we can swim within. Another view is what we call Christ of culture. That view sees culture as basically good, and that faith should adapt to it and include and embrace the enlightened culture and its advances of the day. We should be enlightened and liberal in our thinking that there's nothing wrong with the water, so drink up. But I'd like to consider another response. And that response is shaped by what I want to talk today about, is our spiritual formation of stewardship. So stewardship, if you don't know that word, it's an old-timey word that's best defined as the responsible overseeing and protection of something considered worth caring and preserving. The responsible overseeing and protection of something considered worth caring for and preserving. Now, most of us, if you have heard of this idea of stewardship, think of it in terms of being wise with our own money, wise with our own time or our own resources, that we need to steward them well. But in Matthew 25, Jesus tells a parable about a master who goes on a journey, and he divides his talents among his servants. And Jesus says, For it will be as when a man going on a journey called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The story goes on to tell how those servants used the talents that were given to them. But I want to draw attention to one specific thing. It was the master's talents, not their own. It was the master's property that was entrusted to them, not the use of their own property or their own talents. Jesus does not define stewardship as the responsible use of my resources, but the responsible cultivation and facilitation of his resources. It's how I use my ability to engage in the responsible overseeing and protection of the master's resources, all that is his, that he has entrusted to me. The spiritual formation of stewardship realigns me from stewarding my own resources and just thinking about my own individual salvation to stewarding his resources and engaging in the salvation of all of space and time. Engaging to be a redemptive, that means to renew or to restore every area of culture that I swim within. My job is not to engage in trying to get out of the water. My job is not to be influenced by the water. My job is to transform the water that I swim within. It's not Christ against culture. It's not Christ of culture. It is Christ transforming culture. John 3:16 is a verse we probably all know and know it well. But it does not say that God so loved me that he gave his only son. It says that God so loved the cosmos that he gave his only son. That word cosmos in Greek means the entire universe, all of space and time that exists. Stewardship is about the process of realignment as I begin to practice overseeing, protecting, caring, and cultivating something worth preserving. And that which is worth preserving is all of space and time because it's all the master's property and it's all his. Psalm 24 says, "The universe is the Lord's and all that is within it." So as we swim within our water, we need to be aware that belief, the beliefs that we hold, the foundational things that we hold on to, will shape our action. And that action will determine our outcomes. If the outcome is not aligned with the expectation of the master, I shouldn't seek to change my action. I should seek to change my foundational beliefs. And I just want to briefly share 3 core beliefs that shape the formation of stewardship. So first, stewardship forms purpose. Genesis chapter 1 isn't just about cosmology. So cosmology is the account of how we explain our existence. But it's not just an account of how I explain my existence. It's also what we call teleology. It's how I explain my purpose. Or more accurately, the purpose that I am to serve. Colossians 1:16, Paul said, "All things were created by him and for him." Not by him for me, but by him and for him. If you read Genesis chapter 1, I mean, I'm sure you know the story, but God is in the process of creating. But 5 times in the midst of that process, God stops and he pauses and he casts judgment on what he's doing. And he says, this is good. And then finally, in verse 31, at the end of the chapter, he pauses and he looks at all of creation, all of space and time, and he stops and he says, this is very good. And what I want us to understand this morning is that when God says this is very good, that is not a descriptive statement. He's not looking at that and going, that's not a bad job. I did okay there. I'm pretty proud of what I've just done. It's not a descriptive statement where he's comparing it with something else. This is a definition statement. When God looks at it and he says, this is very good, he is defining for us the very essence of what very good is. If you want to know what is very good, you look at what God did in creation. He's not describing, he's not going, not a bad job, pat on the back. He's telling us what very good looks like. So that as stewards, we understand our teleology. We understand the purpose that we serve within that. So how do we define the good life? Not by some measure against the world or another worldview or some other paradigm. The good life is when we align ourselves with the expressed character and nature of the Creator and work to restore every area of culture to its maker's intent. As we go about doing that, we engage in redemption. We engage in restoration. We engage in renewing all things and bringing them back to the original intent of the Master. If you read Romans 8, Paul says that all of creation groans for the sons and daughters of God to engage in that process. Creation groans as it waits for us to engage in seeing very good. So stewardship reminds me that history is heading somewhere. Let me say that again. History is heading somewhere. And we are in the restoration business. We are people that realize that there is always another chance. There is always hope. There is always a new day. There is always a new dawn. That there is nothing beyond redemption. Why? Because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. And the confidence that this is the Master's domain, that he has not lost control, that things are not beyond his reach, and that I, as I stop hiding my talents and start engaging in his purposes, overseeing, protecting, facilitating, and working to cultivate very good, I then see what I hope for. I then see what I am looking towards. I begin to see evidence of the great renewal. I see culture influenced and shaped and transformed by purpose. In the Old Testament, nomadic desert dwellers, when they dreamt of this ideal, they described it as streams of water in the desert. Because it changes everything. It transforms their entire environment. In the New Testament, the writers call it heavenly. What does it look like when we engage in very good? It looks heavenly. And stewardship reminds me, instead of sitting around and waiting for heavenly, I can engage in seeing it now, here. as I seek to redeem culture as I move throughout it. Second thing, stewardship forms value. Genesis 1 also shapes what we call anthropology. It shapes what makes us humans. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it says, God created mankind in his image. There's an account in Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, where a person comes to Jesus and he asks them about paying taxes. And he says, should we give taxes to Caesar or not? And Jesus says, show me a coin. And he says, whose image is on the coin? The man says, Caesar's. Jesus replies, well, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. See, every human, regardless of color or creed or religion or geopolitical situation or social standing, whether you're born in Bodrum or whether you're born in Baghdad, we all have the same innate value because we are made in the Father's image. Every human being deserves to be treated with the same dignity, equity, and respect, regardless of their belief systems, regardless of whether they agree with me about lifestyles or not. Because Psalm 139 says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Song of Solomon 4 says, we are without flaw. One of America's founding fathers, a guy called Benjamin Franklin, he tried to live his life by what he called 13 virtues. And I read a book once about a lawyer in America who tried to emulate these 13 virtues. And what he tried to do is to spend 30 days living one virtue at a time and focusing on it. And so he spent 30 days on moderation, and he spent 30 days trying to be frugal. And then he got to a value that Franklin called sincerity. And he was confronted with the innate value of every person. He was confronted with the fact that that person had value, whether he thought that person deserved it or not. So what happened was this lawyer, he would go to work every morning, and what he found was the first 15, 20 minutes of every morning, the lawyers would all stand around in the offices, and they would basically talk about their clients and other people, and most of it was derogatory, most of it was negative. So the first day that he went in and he was practicing sincerity, he realized he couldn't say anything. He couldn't join in the conversation. He didn't know what to do, so he actually just stood there and said nothing. And all the other lawyers thought that that was very strange. The second day he went in, and the same thing was happening, and he didn't know what to do, so he stood there without saying anything, and the lawyers looked at him slightly askance and thought, that's strange. 3 or 4 days later, he felt, well, this isn't going to keep working. So what he did was, he just started to speak positively about those people. He started to look for the good in that situation. He started to speak encouragingly about those people. And when he did, people looked at him and they thought he was strange. But then something happened. The lawyer noticed that as the days went on, the speech started to change amongst everyone. And what he noticed was at the end of the 30 days, that 15, 20 minutes had turned from being an incredibly negative, derogatory time to people speaking positively. What he noticed was he had redeemed a culture, and it was very good. Thirdly, stewardship forms us to be redemptive forces to every area of culture. If you've been in YWAM more than about 10 seconds, you will have heard the statement, there is no division between secular and sacred. There's no division between what is the God stuff and what is everything else. That's a misnomer because everything is His. The universe is His and all that is within it. There is no sacred stuff and secular stuff. It's all sacred because it's all done in service to the Master. everything we do is cultivating and facilitating the master's property. And as stewards, we need to be filled with a compelling and constant revelation of the eternal significance of every action that we engage in. Everything we do is important. Everything is part of that great redemption. Everything is an opportunity to engage in this great dance, the beautiful, generous freedom of restoration to very good. That we go and we look at things differently. That we go and we see things in new ways. That we seek out hope. We seek out good. We seek out positive. And we begin to influence it in that way. That we are to steward all of space and time because it's all His. And as I align myself with His character in His nature and seek to express the character and nature in every area of culture, I participate in bringing and experiencing that very good. In Genesis 1, verse 28, God said, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and every living creature that moves on the ground." Everything I do, when done to express very good, when done to express the good life, is part of facilitating the character and nature of the Father and the redemption of every area of culture. Stewardship challenges me to engage in the sphere of science and technology, not to be against it, not to be influenced by it, but to transform it, because God is the God of science. God is the God of the universe and all that is within it. And I'm not afraid of it. I'm not confronted by it. I'm amazed by it. That He's the great mathematician. He's the great physicist. And to make new discoveries is to discover the very mind of God. Stewardship challenges me to engage in the sphere of education, to transform it. Because my God is the God of critical thinking, and education has the power to transform society. And we can use it to transform society into the very good. Stewardship challenges me to engage in government and politics, because God is the governor of all space and time. And when we express His character in geopolitical relationships, we will experience very good between men and nations. It also challenges me to remember that how I drive a forklift or build a fence or stock a shelf or help a friend or talk to my family and loved ones, it all matters. It's all part of the great reversal. It's all great, part of the great cosmic redemption. And everything matters. Read Job. What Job teaches us is that how I choose to respond in those moments matters. It's all part of the great reversal. It's all part of redeeming the cosmos. And every response matters. It's an opportunity to engage in that which I long for and hope for. That we are the people of hope. If you've ever been to Europe, it's littered with these great buildings, cathedrals, monuments to God. Those cathedrals took decades, very, very often centuries to build. A stonemason would often start his career working on a cathedral and retire, never seeing the cathedral finished. Many worked on just one section or just one stone their entire lives. But when that cathedral was completed, A person could stand back and they could see how their one stone fit into that great building. They could see how they had carefully and painstakingly carved and shaped that one piece, but then they could see how it fit within the overall great thing. And as we seek to oversee and steward the property of God in every area, as we seek to redeem every area of culture, every society, we won't see the whole building. Many of us will only see our stone, will only see the little bit that we're working on. But at some point, we will step back and we will see how that stone fits into the greater plans and purposes of the divine architect. We will see that we are part of Christ's transforming culture. The universe is the Lord and all that is within it. And if that is not my fundamental standpoint, if that is not the outcomes that I'm seeing, then perhaps my very beliefs need to be shaken and challenged in light of what Jesus has said. That he invites us to participate with him in that good life, the great restoration of culture to very good. And that is a dream worth living for. That is a dream worth giving our time and our energies for. That is water that's worth swimming in.
Thanks for listening, and thanks, Rob, for sharing. Before you go, it would be awesome if you could follow us on social media or give us a 5-star review. It all helps. Otherwise, I hope you have a great week. Peace.